Pat.
Hey, Calf.
Welcome to the Brewhouse Show.
So good to be back.
It is. It's been a while. We've had a bit of a crazy couple of weeks.
Well, we had a couple weeks there where Easter, right? So that cut out a couple of our Fridays. Fridays is generally when we do our podcast. We were on client work during that to make up.
Or
on vacation, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So when we first formed Brewhouse, coming from England, we had Easter Monday off. So, it's called Easter Monday in England. And I just thought, we get the long weekend and it's like, great. So then when the first kind of Easter came around, we're like, everyone's off on Monday. And then like, I think when we came in on Tuesday, it was like, you do know no one else gets Monday off. And I was like, really? But then it just kind of stuck. And I just thought, why not? I think, and then I found out other people do that too. And and then I guess the provinces here in Canada.
I think it's a different, it's a province by province thing. It's not a capital holiday or whatever they call those.
It's fine to have a good 4-day week. But the effect on us though is the fact that we lose our Friday because we still commit 4 days work to a client work. And so we didn't have time to record this wonderful podcast. No. Sorry, listeners.
I think our last one was our interview with Joe Stump.
That's right.
That was a few weeks ago, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was good.
We're going to do that again. We have a few more people in mind that we want to bring onto the show, so we're definitely going to work on that. But this week, we're having a conversation, to steal a phrase from our friend Mac Flavelle, we're having a conversation about conversations. There's been a lot of chatter, if you will, a lot of conversations happening about this old new user interface paradigm known as conversational UI.
Or chatbots.
What was the first conversational UI that wasn't just a chat, not just a chat service between friends or colleagues? Well, what was the first thing that you saw that was like a conversational UI intended to either interact with a service or bot or to do something other than just chat?
Irrelevant of how I talked to it, whether it's through text or I think I'd say, so AI aside as well, right? Like it's probably a telephone call.
Phone systems.
Yeah. Because I've called things up and it would say, I think it was BT in England, just answer yes or no.
Right.
And I'm like, what? I don't need to press a button?
Mm.
So then it was just like, how are you today? Or whatever. I'm like, I'm fine. Okay, so what would you like? Can you just, and then it would have a conversation. The way they scripted the interaction would be conversation. Mm-hmm. And then I would just simply say yes. And then I played with it because I was like, yeah. did it get that? And they'd go, yep. And it understood all of the yeses because it had recorded the speech synthesis to kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still a scripted service to interact.
Mm-hmm.
Was that your number? Like, can you repeat that to me?
Mm-hmm.
I heard 604, blah, 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 this, that. And I'm like, yes, that's my number.
Mm-hmm.
No. Oh, okay, we'll say it again. And it was just like, this is cool.
Yeah.
And then, but then, yeah, like chatbots have been around for a while. Like I've been from IRC days where you have
I never had experience with IRC.
Right.
So what did chatbots do in that time?
I was just for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there was never really anything like functional. Yeah. It was more like, give thumbs up to people. Give props,
mm-hmm.
Leaders and this, and very like simple things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing like crazy, like because chat rooms back then were just chat rooms,
right?
You didn't go to a chat room to get service,
right?
You didn't go to a chat room that surrounded a domain of your business,
mm-hmm.
or a domain around some e-commerce store or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just to talk to people.
Yeah.
So the services or the chatbots were only ever like really good when it could help or improve a conversation or
mm-hmm.
a community,
mm-hmm.
or like who, where do I go for this? Or how do I register? Or how do I do whatever? So you have this bot and you'd go list commands and it would tell you, I've been programmed to do these things, right? It was never just there going, hey, I just heard you say this. I can help you with that. Or like more conversational.
Would you have to invoke it in some way?
Yeah, you do slash command. And it's very similar to the Slack bots.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think what's really interesting to me now with this shift is how people are trying to create, when they release their API or they release their framework or their approach, they're trying to figure out this conversational part. They're trying to figure out, well, what can we offer that better helps the delivery of this bot to sound, to be more conversational? You know, and yes, so those that are listening, Facebook launched their messenger platform this week. We were playing with it the other day and that was kind of fun. But the but it's interesting how they like, they know that like to present options back to the user, it's going to be very difficult. So here's some UI components to help you do that. So that the person having a chat with this bot can click on a button. And I think, you know, that's been really interesting to me is like the design challenges, because we are taking two steps back, right?
Yeah, because I so when I first heard of, I mean, I agree, like actually I hadn't thought about it, but you're right. The, I guess my first interactions with bots or with conversational UI, I guess more accurately, was a phone tree system and general. And I remember, I forget exactly who the company was, but I think it might have even been Apple. Where the first one that actually received my responses as voice responses, not just like, because theoretically, like it would be conversational in the sense if I touched a number, right? But not, that's not a great conversation. So all of this reminded me though, in the last like couple months that we've been talking about it, coming out of the Slackbot stuff, was we've already had this fight. We've already had this, this like debate between, you know, textual interfaces and graphical interfaces and graphical interfaces, you know, kick the ass.
And, and let's be clear here what you're saying here, because we've been talking about this for weeks and probably our listeners don't get this, but like, we're talking like DOS to Windows,
right?
Like the disk operating system that ran on computers was a command line and you'd interact with your computer writing commands. And then all of a sudden now you can use this mouse to navigate a graphical interface. Yes, graphical interface won there because we are using these very fancy elaborate interfaces and not a command terminal. And that was the shift in, that's been growing through the 80s, the 90s, and now, like, but rightfully so, some people are blogging about this, right? They're like, oh, well, this isn't going to work. Like, no one's going to go back to typing commands to something. But yes, so
it
just...
So it's obviously, however, very different in terms of, so like NLP, natural language processing, wasn't a thing. Commands were... could be somewhat opaque in terms of like understand, like you couldn't just type like open, or at least from my perspective, it would be like open such and such a thing.
Well, yeah, because
maybe open's not a great example, but
so for me, what's really interesting right now is how people are open to bots. Okay, so sometimes a market has to be ready for something.
Sure.
And I think people are now being programmed to speak in a computer voice. Okay? So let's take Google, for example. Now, I was around, I around in the web when Google didn't exist. And you had Ask Jeeves. And you had Alta Vista. You had Yahoo, obviously. Now, what was really interesting back then was people would go into a search engine and type a question. They would type it out like, I am looking for somewhere to buy shoes. Please help me. And Ask Jeeves kind of engineered it around that, like, Like it was like, ask me. So I will, Jeeves, I'll ask you, where do I go to take my date out for a nice night, whatever? Like, I would ask this question. But then Google was like, we're fast, one box, results are really fast. Oh, and results are really fast. So you mean to say I can just type in restaurant, London, I get hits.
Yeah.
So then we're getting programmed to give it like less things for results.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like now you get Siri and it's like, ask me things in this way. And I'll respond. You don't, and you slowly get programmed, right? You slowly go, well, create a timer for this. It's like, I'm cooking some chicken. Please remind me in 20 minutes to take it out of the oven, Siri.
Yeah.
You don't say that, right? Because Siri will be like, I didn't get, exactly. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
But if you're trying to create a timer, tell me, create a timer for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's like this programming. Yeah. And now people are used to that. And that's why I think Slack bots work a bit more, because we tell them the structure to interact with it, which is a good and bad thing.
Yeah.
But, you know.
My first working experience with this was an app. I may have even mentioned it on the podcast before, but I worked on an app called QuickCal. And QuickCal was actually, even before FantasticCal came out, it was the original NLP app for creating events in your calendar. And so essentially, if you had a Mac, you could type in a keyboard command, a global keyboard command, and it would bring up this little box at anywhere on the system. You'd type in lunch with Calv at noon at such and such a place. And it would automatically plug that into your calendar. Actually, you saw the way we did it was, or they did it before I got there. It would display sort of the feedback in that in sort of a calendar-esque, event-esque, like kind of like layout. So you could see like the time plop into the time slot and pop into the name slot and stuff. And that was great. But as you just said, there was a certain format. I mean, you could kind of change things here and there. Like it was obvious that like times were easy to more or less discern. Mm-hmm. And even time ranges, like, you know, from such and such a time to such and such a time. But let's say if you put the name of the event later in the thing, it might confuse that as the location or as the name of the person you're trying to invite, or it could be any number of things that it got confused by. So are you saying then that, like, bots are, at least as they exist today, require humans to understand their language?
Yes, kind of. And I think that is going to be a barrier. Like I installed Poncho as so there's a couple of Facebook Messenger apps, right? And I haven't got my phone with me right now.
Behind you.
Oh, there we go. It's so big I have to take out my phone. I've got a new phone and it's huge. So we installed the Facebook Messenger bots that are out there, right? So one of them that got launched was Poncho, which is actually a great little weather service, like a little fun little, like, will tell you the weather a day, right? And so I gave it to my wife, Sharon, and said, hey, ask this thing the weather, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was so funny, the conversation that she's like, okay, well, is it going to rain tonight? It will be cloudy tonight in Vancouver. What about tomorrow? Excuse me? What will the weather be tomorrow? I've never been there. Is it nice? Try another city or neighborhood. And the reason I gave that to Sharon is because she hasn't interacted with that many services. She doesn't know the technicalities behind it.
Mm.
She's the typical user. Like, here you go, right? And that was what was interesting. It was like, it got the first question right. When I said, what about tomorrow? Now, that's a phrase or NLP extracted or story or machine learned.
Mm-hmm.
However they've implemented their service, hasn't figured it out. And it's just like, excuse me. Now, if we think of web world here, right, and our experience with building product, trust is built in like you have like a time limit, right? Like that 30-second window or 10-second window, like before you then invest 2 minutes and then you invest 10 and you grows, right? Lost. Like, I know for a fact Sharon will never use this again.
Mm-hmm.
Or more importantly, she would use this service and be like, I'm never going to use a bot service again.
Mm-hmm.
This is a waste of time. Yeah. It work.
Yeah, which, because she already has the experience of being able to easily
Go query that. Yeah.
Either on Google or in a weather app or whatever.
But the thing that was really interesting to me there was the fact that one bot provider gave an impression to a user for the rest of them.
Right.
So let's just hypothetically say tomorrow, like shoes.com create an amazing Facebook Messenger app where you're like, take a picture of the shoes you have now, or the ones you like, and I'll tell you what you like or whatever, right? But because of her experience on one bot, it's like, no, I'm not going to give this a go again.
Yeah. Yeah,
so like, I don't know if everyone really understands their role here, because if you're a bot developer right now, it's on you to win over a customer once or twice, or if you do a terrible job, will you just be doing the whole system injustice?
Right.
So
now, that being said, I mean, someone could interact with a website for the first time and it's a terrible website.
Yeah, I get that.
There's some amount of forgiveness there. What's interesting though, in that, to contrast that experience, so I was at the Conversation About Conversations event held by, that Matt hosted earlier this week, and Stephanie Reiger, who's a product designer and strategist at Yibu, which is a company I hadn't heard of before I heard her speak. But she was talking about how in places like China and Africa, so your wife's first experiences with computer interfaces was graphical user interfaces. And whereas in these emerging markets, it seems that their first interfaces are more, almost more like yours, which I assume was like, maybe not, the command line.
For most people it's SMS, right? Like, let's say
a lot of SMS stuff.
Yeah, I know, like interacting with banking, whatever else is SMS services. And so, totally agree.
So I guess my question then is, are we building chatbots for people who are already users of GUI products, or are we building them for people who are still coming into the market?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
And I think that probably, so it depends.
Yeah.
Because if you're a B2B service offering today, you have to then question like what matters, right? Like who's the audience?
Yeah.
Let's think actually an e-commerce store, right? So if I am a big brand.
Yep. I could say my friend, Matt Alexander, just relaunched his e-commerce clothing store called Imprint. And they just released an iPhone app that includes a conversational UI.
Interesting.
So like perfect example. Like,
yeah.
That's that perfect.
So with them, let's talk about that. Yeah. So like, is their audience and the new Gen Y kind of audience?
Right.
Or is it like the existing IT savvy? Because if they're IT savvy, then they understand like, I use my laptop to write emails. Yeah. I use my whatever, right?
Yeah.
Something you said when you were asking, I mean, so I guess that wasn't really a clear answer, but when you were asking that question, something that did come to mind with me was that, you know how like we're used to adopting product, right? Let's talk about product design a second. And you have something that's a signifier, you can see what you can do with it, like you get an idea or whatever, right? With a chat service, there's nothing there.
Right.
Right? And if you think of it as a person, you will then revert to however your interactions with people influences your first question.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, how are you today?
Mm-hmm.
What's up? What can you do?
Mm-hmm.
What are you for?
Yeah.
Can you help me with this?
Yeah.
Like, so I'm interested in right now a lot around like, well, how do people interact, right?
Yeah.
How do I, when I first meet someone for the first time, like, what do I ask to get a level of trust?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I've been thinking about a lot of things with this stuff, but like, do you then want to go, well, how long have you been alive? Like, how did you get to doing what you're doing today? You know, how do you, you know, like how you ask someone's background?
Yeah.
Let's just get to know one another.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Will you ever want to do that with a bot? How would you build trust? How would you like, okay, you're a travel agent. Like, are you going to be a good travel agent to me?
Right.
Are you going to,
what's your circulating vitae?
And am I going to go to an app store and see reviews? And I know people are trying to do bot stores. I've seen some get launched recently. They have like submit your bot and give it ratings or whatever. But then what's funny about that is like, that's not how you're going to discover bots, right? You're going to discover them through word of mouth. Like, Pat, ideally I'd be like, Pat's going to say, hey, you should speak to a friend of mine. He'll help you with that, or she'll help you with that. And it's actually a bot, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Facebook have kind of touched on their discoverability a little bit, because you can, when you click on the messenger bubble, it will give you suggestions of things.
Yeah.
And that's, things are people or agents.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me, because it has to be self-discoverable. It has to be kind of, otherwise, it's not going to...
And then Slack would be, you see one person do it, and in there you see how they just type a slash, and then actually once you type a slash, it pops up that list anywhere, in any of the channels, any of the people you're talking to.
The best bots that we use in Slack today are the ones we've seen other teams use, or other people use.
Yeah.
So it's so...
There is that almost viral aspect to it.
There's something missing right now with the holes. Anyway, I mean, we're talking a lot about the conversational part of the chatbots,
right.
And it is an issue. WitKit, is it Wit?
Wit.ai
is an amazing API that helps you perform the natural language processing on the string. For those of you who don't know, what that means is you can do things like entity extraction. So if I give it a sentence, it will determine whether there's a date in there, a location in there. It'll mark that.
You'll see that sort of idea if you have an iPhone. I'm not sure, maybe it works on Android as well, but when you have an iPhone, if you type just
an address,
text message and you type an address or a date, it'll underline that.
Yeah.
So it's a similar idea.
Yeah, and exactly that. And I think, you know, that stuff used to be so hard. I can remember spending months working on an NLP entity extraction thing back in 2004. Anyway, it's so easy now. It's so easy.
Yeah.
There's APIs, there's other machine learning APIs. You can give it lots of different data and it will determine. There's multiple different approaches, but let's just say, you know, there's APIs out there to help that. And I think wit.ai launched their stories, actually, which is brilliant, which is like, I will define a story, like a scenario of what a conversation will look like. And I'll keep adding to that data. Because lots of people are saying, what are the biggest challenges? And people say data. So there's data on the service side, but I think it's data on structuring the conversation. It's like, how do you know if I'm building a HR bot, like all the different ways people could ask me to take time off?
Right.
Right? Where is that training data? Where is that subset of the structure? And what they've done, though, is to say, like, tell me what you know, and then I'll keep adding to it.
Mm.
And it's pretty impressive. Like, you know, and I'm hoping to play with that in the beta soon. But, like, you can script it in, and then you, like, save it, and then, like, script another one in, save it.
Right.
And then it will, and then ones that it doesn't understand, it will log them, though, because you're collecting then more data.
Yeah.
And then over time, you're building out a better service.
Oh, cool.
Because I think if you're an e-commerce store, the winner is going to be who owns the insight of handling a proper store assistant conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, hello, how are you today? Is there anything I can help you with in the store? And, you know, as soon as they leave, you know, thank you very much, come again.
Totally.
But, like, where is all those multiple different ways of saying, well, I'm looking for a gift for a friend. I'm looking for, you know, a replacement of X, or I had this awesome pair of jeans and do you have something similar?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, that stuff, to do it properly, will be less about it being scripted.
Yeah.
Cause that's what things are happening today. Mm-hmm. But like a good service is going to be around that. Anyway, that's just some conversation for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's the jumped out the most is like, the hardest thing, or like, or even, is it a fad? Do you think this is going to work?
I think it's going to have its place in our lives. So things we haven't even touched on are things like Alexa from Amazon, right?
We're just talking about text.
I've heard a lot of people say that children, especially who can't read or write but can speak, are just enamored. Like they're completely.
Did you see that blog post though about how it's teaching my kids?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Well, that's not that. Alexa has nothing to do with that. That's bad parenting.
No. I think there's some truth in it.
Yeah.
I've got kids,
yeah.
And there is probably like bad parenting. Like, are you? I don't know.
Well, I just mean like I've been abdicating responsibility of.
No. So the article was very short, very
yeah.
quick, but it was trying to highlight that. Children are being brought up with this now attitude as well. There was a number of other stuff. There's other topics that I got from that the article touched on. Was sorry to cut you off there, but like the fact was, is it making kids rude because they're just saying I want this now or give me this? They don't add the word please, or they don't say thank you.
But how is that any different than how we were growing up? I don't... like, every kid has to go through that.
It is, but then, like, if the kid's asking me as a person...
Yeah, right. You're going to correct them.
And I'm going to correct them and say, where's your manners? And I do that
That's
all
true.
The time.
Sure.
Whereas Alexa, as a service,
right.
is not going to do that.
Right.
It's not going to go, you know, Ari, you've asked me 3 times today really rudely.
Yeah.
I'm not helping you until you ask me politely.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what we would do as people.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, even friends or family members, they do the same with our kids because they know they want like them to have good manners, right?
Mm-hmm.
Computers won't be programmed to do that. And that's what the article was trying to say. Like, Amazon, please make the changes to Alexa to understand whether or not someone's being rude. And
unless...
Okay.
Devil's advocate. People... Like, what is the purpose of manners, and what is rude?
Ah, okay.
Right? Do you then eventually get to a society, like, this is, like, obviously,
that's
down
society,
the line,
yeah.
Do you get to this point where society doesn't require those frivolities, if you will?
Yeah.
Right?
Please and thank yous? You mean that we live in a world that please and thank yous don't need to exist, just a smile on your face, and appreciative of people?
Maybe. If even that. Maybe we become a little less.
So we would be walking around, and I'd walk over to Pat to you, and be like,
mm-hmm.
"Pat, I want X," or "Pat, give me blah."
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be like, "How was your day yesterday?" Oh, I know you went for a ride, or like
yeah.
blah blah blah, or you had a pain, you were off sick. How are you feeling better? Like, I would just go straight to like the.
I'm not saying that's
the
future I want. I'm just saying it's a future that could be possible.
That would be funny.
You know,
anyway,
but yeah, I see what you're saying though
about
the lack of reinforcement of those things.
But getting back to the question, the
yeah.
fads you were talking. Yes, we haven't talked about
right.
voice. We haven't talked. Yeah.
So I think it's going to have a place. Even I remember. I know Siri still has its limitations, but and I've had to, as you say, like be programmed myself to speak to it in the way that it understands. But every time I lift up the Apple Watch that I'm wearing and say, "Hey Siri," well, okay, this is taking a while, but
yeah, then it connects to your phone.
Set
just
a timer for 30
yeah.
minutes. Every time I set a timer for 30 minutes with my voice, it's like just that alone still blows my mind. So,
but it's kind of funny that we kept on saying set a timer, and the reason I say that's the only thing I do with my voice.
Yeah.
I don't do any other function, even with the new Google,
oh, yeah.
like, now, like, I will only ever set timers.
You need to start listening to music.
Okay.
That's the thing I've started to get into a little bit,
okay.
even just in the last few weeks.
And just saying, next track, or?
Hey Siri, play Hey Rosetta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm going to play a lot more
yeah.
with voice. The other thing with voice, though, and something that I will touch on here... is as a society right now, we're not ready to talk to our devices.
No, that's an even bigger hurdle, you're right, than typing into a chat box.
I have yet to see, even in the Bay Area, like the bubble of the
yeah.
best tech
yeah.
people, do people talk into their phones
right.
and giving it instructional elements.
Right.
Hey Siri, send an email to Calv. You know, had a great time last night, great to see you. Hang on a minute, what is, you know, do I don't want to be sharing that? What am I talking about?
Right.
And I think there's something about that.
What if you could think that? And it reads your brain waves. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think we're a couple years off of that.
Just a couple. But there is that, and I think someone else brought up, like, I think there's a lot of these technologies that will come to play to make this a real reality, like augmented AR kind of goggles or viewpoint things, because it's like, if I'm talking to a service, can it be presenting options and objects in front of me the same time? And you know what, I wouldn't be surprised if these UI interfaces start becoming web component interfaces, and you know, more rich content can be delivered and presented. At the moment, yes, here's an image, here's some text, but like,
maybe here's a couple of buttons to hit, or
here's some, like, you know. And I think Facebook's position quite interesting to do this stuff, especially with their open source projects like React and whatever. Like, could they be like, hey, here's some subset of React components that could be rendered? But they've yet to merge, like, developer land and open source libraries that way. But stuff that I'm really interested in watching, because it's like, because it's like, here you go, right? Like, you can build out whatever things you want. Because that's the limitation with Slack. We know this because we've been building some Slack bots. Like, we want to present buttons. I think a lot of biggest thing is like, buttons, can you please give me buttons? Instead, you have to give links. Click on this link, sends them to a different site. There's no, like, proxy through Slack to send data through, or present form options or whatever. And then you're then what are you doing, though, right? You're then creating a web GUI to solve these problems. But then, like, it's going to be interesting.
I think so. Now, here's another interesting thing that I have yet to hear.
Go on.
And it could be completely, this is an umbrella of mercy idea, meaning that it could be incredibly stupid. What about chatbots talking to chatbots? And using that as a means for interoperability things and passing data between services.
So I think some people have been writing about some of these things. I see some, if I take the engineering view of microservices and small little apps for single purposes, could you hook them all together? Like, there will be a meta point. There will definitely be that. Like, in this year, I'm pretty sure that someone will launch a, here's your assistant, but your assistant uses this bot, this service, this calendar scheduling service, this other service to do your shopping, this other service to do the traveling agent, but it's just hooked all together under one thing. And now, as an engineer, then I think of the technical challenges, because it's like interoperability, message passing, how do you hook them up, how do you talk between them all, like, that's like, it is, but like, I'd like, and that's why I kind of am interested in Microsoft's Cortana approach with their APIs, because they're platform agnostic. They're hey, like, here, you can talk to Slack. Hey, you can talk to Skype and all the other, some of the Microsoft products, but also non-Microsoft products. So the question there for me now is, are they going to launch an adapter to the Facebook one? So that would be really test how serious they are with that. But the point there, though, is that they are building something that allows you to talk to all of them, right? Not something that is just to one, right? Whereas if the Facebook, if you have, like, say you try and build this bot that talks to multiple bots, but one bot is in Slack land, one bot is in WeChat land, one of them is in Kick, one of them is in Facebook, one of them is in Alexa. You could have talked over voice. So you have all these, like, or text to voice, voice to text. Different API endpoints, different ways of talking. Hang on a minute, you can't actually send a message in programmatically through to Facebook. How do you do that? You know, and I this is my ask to anyone listening to this, if there's anyone interesting, like, someone needs to start thinking of like a, I dare say the word specification, but like something that everyone can adopt.
Some sort of standard.
Yeah, because then if you're building a bot, you build that first, that standard, that then can talk into any other ways.
Yeah.
So that anyone could just hook into that layer if they need to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because think about the power of that. Like, mm-hmm. And that's, so what we're really talking about here in kind of engineering sense is an API for bots,
mm-hmm.
right? Like websites today have the graphical interface to interact with their customers and they build this API. And the API, the application programmer interface, allows anything else to plug into it.
Yeah.
So you can have an app that uses multiple apps,
yeah.
as many things do today, right? I use accounting that talks to FreshBooks,
yeah.
that also talks to this, talks to my billing,
yeah.
talks to my scheduling,
mm-hmm.
Different services. So within a bot land, how is that going to happen? And maybe we don't need to care about it
right.
for a year or two, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think it's going to become an issue.
Yeah.
Because it's like you build an amazing business that happens to be a travel agent service that
yeah.
talks through Facebook alone. How do other platforms take advantage of that? And then how do other bots partner
mm-hmm.
and integrate with that?
Mm-hmm.
Super interesting. Super,
yeah.
lots of challenges, lots of fun things on the table.
Yeah, totally. Cool. Well, I think that probably does it.
That does. I guess our cool thing of the week probably is
chatbots.
Chatbots.
Actually, there's one other thing. I'll just mention it quickly that Stephanie brought up during the event on Wednesday. At the time of the event, I felt it was a little out of place, but the actual thing that she was talking about was very cool. And that is these beacons that are coming out. Google has apparently been working on these beacons in Firefox as well. And basically the idea being you stick something, a little sticker on a wall in an office, let's say. And all it's doing is using Bluetooth LE broadcasting a URL that you can pick up in your browser. And they can send push notifications with that. And basically it's like, you know, for instance, like if you had a meeting, you could stick a little thing up and you could have all your meeting notes on it. Or if you have a store.
Yeah. They've had NFC that does that for a little while.
Yeah. So this is the difference there is the is
Bluetooth
the
low energy.
Bluetooth low energy stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems super interesting that
yeah.
stuff. I noticed that like Google also launched these live cases that have a
yeah.
button in it to program another function using
oh, yeah.
NFC, which was. The cases were like, oh, you can print your own case. But for me, the news wasn't that. It was this button that they've added. I haven't looked into it in much detail.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to that. Like, you could program this function to it, but based
right.
on different... I don't know.
Yeah.
A year ago, maybe 2 years ago, it was about context awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, contextual
yeah, yeah, yeah.
web and
yeah.
contextual devices.
Yeah.
Like, how could something know where I am and
yeah.
what my frame of mind is
yeah.
to best suit my
yeah.
offering?
I still think there's a lot to do there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I completely agree. And I think so the sticker stuff makes me think about some of those
mm-hmm.
things
mm-hmm.
again.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's because electronics can be smaller and lower powered now,
that's right?
right?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that was, yeah, that's super
yeah.
interesting. What was it called?
It's called Eddystone.
Awesome. Okay, well, then let's wrap up the Brewhouse show. Thank you for listening. We'll be putting one up again next week. Please do share this, tweet it. I'm at Calv on Twitter.
I'm at Pat Driver.
And we are at Brewhouse Team.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening. Have a good weekend. Or week, actually, because we published whenever. I'm now looking at Pat. When do we even publish? I think it's
usually Tuesdays.
There we go. So we record this on a Friday and publish on Tuesday. So.
That's right.
Have fun.